They say that there are four phases in life, and we're all in one of them. In the first phase, you believe in Father Christmas. The second phase, you don't believe in Father Christmas. The third phase in life, you become Father Christmas. And then in the fourth phase of life, you just look like Father Christmas. I don't know which of those you perhaps identify with, but the blockbuster film on at the cinemas this week from the makers of Wallace and Gromit is aptly titled Arthur Christmas, and it's a story all about a grandfather, a father, and two sons. And the family embodies at least three of those phases in life. The film at last reveals the incredible, never-before-seen answer to every child's question. How does Santa deliver all those presents in one night? But after 70 annual deliveries, Father Christmas, whose real name is Malcolm, is really ready to hand over the red cloak to his oldest son, and heir, Steve. Malcolm is now merely the figurehead of what has become an ultra high-tech global package delivering corporation hidden underneath the North Pole. Steve, the oldest son, is seeking the glory of the position of Father Christmas, but not the joy of bringing happiness to children all around the world. And he runs at Santa's headquarters like a military command center, with thousands of commando elves at his disposal and a goatee cut in the shape of a Christmas tree. While Steve is the gung-ho, no-quit kind of guy, his younger brother, Arthur, is a rather goofy, afraid of heights, things that go fast, and buttons kind of person. Arthur's only responsibility is to read the request letters children send to Santa. He works down a long corridor in the letters division. He reads every letter and personally and lovingly answers every single one of them. He ensures that each child receives the very present requested. Well, the film opens late on Christmas Eve in total darkness. 2 billion toys are delivered on time, in perfect Mission Impossible style, with a giant radar-defying stealth sleigh-shaped spacecraft. Elves drinking hot chocolate with marshmallows chart and graph every movement with Google Earth-like precision. And harnessed special forces elves descend with giant present-carrying spacecraft, delivering perfectly wrapped presents to these 2 billion sleeping children. However, upon Arthur's stumbling entrance into the command center with a handful of children's letters, one toy is accidentally knocked over into a pile of old, discarded wrappings and missed. One child is going to go without a present. One child has been forgotten at Christmas. And it's almost dawn when the mistake is discovered. Now, Santa and Steve brush it off. There isn't time to deliver it anyway. Out of 2 billion presents delivered, only one present got missed. Steve is unmoved. He is more concerned with the precision of his prized Santa spacecraft, viewing one child out of millions as an acceptable margin of error. In any corporation, he says, 0.00001.25 margin of error would be considered an absolute success, but not to Arthur. Arthur is stunned, as are the elves. He can't understand why his dad and his brother are willing to let one child go unpresented. To Arthur, every child is important. He's a good-natured and a compassionate author. He cannot bear the thought of one little girl waking up on Christmas morning believing that she is the only child in the world to be unloved by Santa. So while Santa goes to bed and Steve shuts down operations for another year, only Arthur still believes in the self-giving spirit of Christmas. He's the only one willing to sacrifice himself even for a stranger's happiness. Well, I don't want to give any more of the story away, but I can tell you this. Arthur overcomes his fears. As dawn is fast approaching, it's up to him, his senile granddad, some aging reindeer, and a rusty sleigh, and a Scottish elf called Bryony, and they embark on a most dangerous and frightening journey, given that it's got a U classification, to deliver this one child's present before she wakes up. Well, the story is deep, I can tell you that. I'm going to need to go and watch it again to get it all. The humour is innocent, and the characters are wonderfully lifelike, even more so apparently in 3D. But if you have eyes to see, the parallels with the real Christmas story shine through like the stars twinkling on a clear night sky. If you listen carefully in the story, you'll hear Silent Night sung. And there's a church prominent in the village where this little girl lives. I took away a number of lessons from the film, and I commend it to you. Arthur Christmas inspires us to value what may be regarded as ancient or old or antique. Outdated doesn't mean useless. And that applies as much to the Bible as it does to objects and people. Likewise, we're taught the importance of the family and the value of finding love and support in one another. The film's subtitle is 2 billion presents delivered in one night, it takes a family. And it does indeed. Arthur's passion for this one child motivates his whole family to work together, fulfill their purpose and complete the mission. His self-sacrifice convinces them that every single child on earth matters. Now I wonder where that idea came from. Jesus told a similar story once about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. 99 of them were safe, they were well cared for, and they were guarded. But one, just one, was missing. Jesus asked, what would the shepherd do? Well, a good shepherd would leave the 99 and go out into the wilderness and look for the one that was lost. Jesus is making the point that heaven rejoices over one lost but now found sinner more than the 99 who are already safe. To Arthur, every child deserves Santa. Every child deserves that warm-cheeked feeling of coming downstairs to the tree, opening the present and finding their young heart's desire beneath the wrappings. To Jesus, every child, every adult matters, deserves the same. To Jesus, everyone deserves that warm-cheeked feeling of coming to the cross and finding salvation in the arms of a loving Saviour. In the Christmas story which we've sung and which we've heard read so eloquently, we can savour the incredible, profound truth that God sent His Son to live and to die for your forgiveness. If you were the only child in the world, Jesus would still have come that first Christmas to save you, to find you, to rescue you. Jesus came to fulfill that void in your life, that ache, that success and materialism and all the Christmas presents in the world can never satisfy. He came to give you the one gift you can't earn and you don't deserve. the one gift, the ultimate gift that will last way beyond Christmas, but forever. Being born all over again into God's family, enjoying his tender, loving, fatherly care forever and ever. True, Arthur Christmas is aimed at the young of heart. But remember something that Jesus said too. I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, God doesn't expect us to understand everything about him or his purposes for our lives even. He simply asks us to trust him, to respond to his promptings, his urging, his leaning. Discover our purpose in life in an exciting adventure that will never end. And if, like the elves, you're asking the question, what do I do? What should we do? What do I do to receive this gift of new birth? Well, remember the other promise that Jesus made. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's the heart of Christmas. That's why I hope you're here tonight. I'm going to talk to God now, and you may like to respond silently as I pray, if it expresses the desire of your heart. Loving Father, with childlike trust, help me to welcome and receive Jesus as my friend and Saviour. This Christmas I long to share in the songs of the angels, express the gladness of the shepherds, and truly worship like the wise men. Deliver me from evil by the blessing which only Christ can bring. Come into my life and give me a clean, pure and forgiven heart. May Christmas morning make me truly happy to be your child, and Christmas evening bring me to my bed with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven. For Jesus' sake, amen. Over at the back of the church in the darkness by the door is a table, and on that table there are some books, and they're free. And they are the story of Jesus, his life, why he came that first Christmas. And if you prayed that prayer tonight for the first time, or you are thinking of doing so, or you want to know more about Jesus, then please take one on your way out. Don't be embarrassed. They're there for you. I invite you to make room for Christmas, for Jesus in your life this Christmas. And may God bless you and those you love. Thank you.